Moncrief on News Talk.
So, if you're in a bidding war for a house, what do you do? Vastly outreach the asking price to blow away the competition, or just go up by small increments? Or does it matter? After all, isn't it just the largest bid that wins either way? Michael Houghton is the host of the Fire podcast about financial independence. Good afternoon, Michael.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad. So, does it matter?
It does. In my experience, it does. Every property is unique, and it's worth trying to establish with the auctioneer what sort of bidding strategy might be needed. So sometimes you want to throw a really high bid in there and maybe give a 7-day time limit. I certainly have done that and it's worked for my favor. Other times they might want to just get all the bids in and the vendor is happy to wait. And in that case, maybe the strategy of just throwing €1,000 over works. So it really depends. Sometimes you need to be aggressive. So, you know, there's no one right way. But it's about trying to work with the auctioneer to gauge sort of what they might be looking for, what the expectations are of the vendor.
Right. Okay. And will the estate agent give you all that information necessarily?
You've got to be a little bit sneaky sometimes, Sean, you know, and you're trying to pry out information. That's the whole purpose of viewing property and why it's important to look at so many different houses and build relationships with those auctioneers. I had a friend who recently went sale agreed with an auctioneer that had seen her on 4 or 5 properties and she'd been outbid every time. So by the time that it came to this property, the auctioneer was really helping and trying to do what he could to help her get a property because he saw how much heartbreak there had been. I think the days of getting mortgage approval and going and looking at one house and buying it, those days are gone. It's no longer about trying to find the right house. It's trying to find a house. And that can be difficult. And every house is different. But really what I would say is not every listing goes to a bidding war, €100,000 over the asking price. Every property is different. And sometimes there is a diamond in the rough there along the way.
Right. Okay. And give us an idea of what kind of a situation where you might find a diamond in the rough.
You know what? Every listing is marketed differently, and it depends a lot of the time on the auctioneer. So I bought one a few years back where there was only 2 photos and no photos of the inside. And I went in and the house was perfect. More recently, I actually bid in a property. Same thing. This is only probably a month ago. No pictures on the inside. I went in. It was nicer than my own house, Sean. It was fabulous. It was decorated so perfectly. And for whatever reason, they hadn't put those inside pictures up. So you're kind of finding value there where a lot of people might see them online and just dismiss it and move on to the next property. Whereas, you know, that's why going and having a look is so, so important because you just never know when something might come up. And you go in and you go, my goodness, a lot of the time they might advertise it as a 3-bedroom property. You get there and there might be an attic conversion that they can't advertise as a 4th bedroom. Mm-hmm. And suddenly that's there. So there's all sorts of things. You know, you can't stress the importance. It's so easy today just to look online and scroll past and say, no, no, no. Whereas if you go and put the effort in and build that relationship with those auctioneers, have a look, you never know what you might find.
Yeah, and putting a time limit on it. Say, you know, you've got mortgage approval for 350, we'll say. And can it be beneficial, even if, you know, if the asking price is presumably less than 350, to say, you know, if it's 320, I'll offer 350, but there's a week on that. And if not, you know, that offer's gone.
Yeah, and it worked for us, and I know it's worked for friends. Look, if you're a cash buyer, it's a particularly powerful strategy, right? Because you can put all your cards on the table. I did do it. I only went sale agreed there about 6 weeks ago, and it was with that exact strategy. So I was one of the first viewings on the property. I knew where they were going to on the estate. I knew the auctioneer, and I said, what's your vendor's expectations here? Asking price $325. He said, look, they're looking for $340 mark. Right. And so I called him up that afternoon. I said, look, I'm going to put an offer in at $345. So $5,000 more than what they were hoping for. But there's going to be a 7-day turnaround. And lo and behold, on the 7th day, the bid was accepted. So they'd obviously had a week to get some more viewings through. Nothing else came. No other bids came in. And they accepted my offer. And it's certainly not something that often works. It's something I'd only done for the first time. But depending on the situation, it can be, you know, again, you've got to be thinking about all the situations when it comes to how much are we going to offer? How many bidders are there? How much interest is there? You know, these things need to be paid up. It's not talked about, but it's important to understand that there's different strategies when it comes to trying to actually secure the property.
Yes. Some people listening, at least Michael, might think there are parts of the country where there isn't a huge queue of people trying to buy a property.
Do you know what? It's funny you say that, Sean, because like we bought last year out in Carrigaholt in County Clare, right? Fairly remote part of Ireland. But we were desperate. There were so many bidding wars even then. So, you know, I'd find it difficult to believe any part of the country doesn't necessarily have a bidding war. And remember, it's sometimes it's just you and another buyer. That's what was really upsetting for us in West Clare looking. It was always us and another buyer, usually a foreign US buyer or something like that. And so it's just difficult. No matter what you bid, it didn't matter what strategy we had there. We were being outbid. It was a desperate situation. And finally, we waited till November and we ended up going sale agreed on something that had no other bidders. So it was us and the vendor directly, which is a much nicer position to be in.
Yeah, well, no, absolutely. But I imagine from in your experiences, that's a gem. That's a total rarity.
It's rare. And that's why you've got to cherish it. And this is the other thing. Like sometimes you go sale agreed and you talk to people and they're like, oh, I'm thinking about pulling out because of this really, you know, reason that doesn't make sense. Once you've gone sale agreed, that's when you respect everything about the deal. In fact, on that West Clare property, they wanted us to buy the furniture. They were going through a divorce. We didn't even want the furniture, but we knew that it would be difficult for them to take the furniture away. And so we ended up buying 4,000 euro worth of furniture just to keep them happy and make sure that the deal didn't slip through. So again, it's about respecting the deal when you finally do find something and go sale agreed.
Okay, yeah. Is that an absolute nugget of gold if you discover that there's a divorce involved?
Well, it is, but it's messy. Like, this is the thing. It's messy.
Well,
so
for them,
messy,
maybe not for you.
You know, it's a bit like, we talk about this. When I came to buying the furniture, I had to send half the money up to one person and the other half up to another because obviously the relationship had fallen down so badly that they weren't able to even trust each other with that money for a day or two before they sent it over. So, you know, these are the things that you look for. And again, these are all the complications of it. As I said, it's not as simple as just going in and buying, oh, I like that house, I'll buy that one. You've got to factor in all of these things. And again, auctioneers don't give this information away, but you've just got to pry a little bit, ask the right questions, be subtle in how you ask it, and try and squeeze out as much information as you can.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Are you looking for a Columbus car dealership built on tradition and trust? Buyers Auto, family-owned since 1897, offers top new and pre-owned vehicles. Visit us or shop online at buyersauto.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
If you put in a bid, whether you put in a massive over-the-odds bid or not, if the estate agent says there's at least six other people actively interested in that, should you just walk away?
Oh, every time. And this is the hardest part, is more often than not, like it's emotionally draining trying to find a house. Like buying your own house is even worse. I mean, investment property is a little bit less emotionally draining, but that holiday home last year, that almost broke us, right? It was every day. It was an obsession. And I talk about this often with people that, you know, you might talk to somebody and they're trying to buy a house and say, oh, how many listings are you looking at per month? Oh, just one. That's not how it works. You've got to be out looking at a house ideally every day. You know, three or four listings a week minimum to try and make it happen, because ultimately this is a numbers game. And as you came back to that property there, if you go into property, there's six active bidders, even three is probably too many. It's usually just to walk away, move on to the next listing. You can't be emotionally attached because it just breaks you. It's so emotionally draining.
Yeah.
And so it's very much just a numbers game. At the end of it, we're looking for one house and we're looking at 100 different houses and we're hoping that one of them is going to be for us. And remember too, Sean, sometimes, and this is a strategy I've used as well, sometimes it's totally okay to be second or third in the bidding war. Don't think you've got to win all those bidding wars. In fact, I try to avoid them as much as I can. So many times the buyer pulls out. So a friend of mine just did that. He was looking in Limerick. He had an hour. He was happy to look anywhere, any four-bedroom house within an hour. And he had a very, very specific amount. So all he did was he'd go in, bid that amount, and he'd constantly get outbid. And lo and behold, a phone call came, a house he had bid in 6 weeks ago. The original bidder pulled out and he was sale agreed. So I call that market positioning. We don't always have to win those bidding wars. Just be in the game and have an opportunity for that callback.
A vendor in that situation will say, somebody had offered me 450, but that fell through. They presumably couldn't get the finance. So I'll go down. But would they not feel, but if I got it once, I could get it again?
So it depends, right? So this is all this, or every situation is different. So in this case, they called back. Let's use that 450 example. And they called back and they said, look, The other vendor, the other bid is pulled out. You were $5,000 below, but they're going to accept an offer if you were to offer $450,000. So now you get to go up to match that price, but you don't have that fear of that bidder coming back over the top again. Mm. It's now a black and white decision. You get the house or you don't. And that's what happened to my friend. He got to just increase his offer slightly to match what was there, and he got it. And for the auctioneer and everybody else, remember, a house sitting is costing a vendor money. Whether it's a mortgage on that property, insurance, like in many cases, they're in breach of insurance if it's not filled for more than 30 days. You've got property taxes and various other things. So it's costing money for a house sitting there. The vendor wants to see the house sold as quickly as possible in most cases.
Somebody's just emailed in to say, Michael, my partner and I recently put a bid on a house at asking price. It was the only bid on the property, and the auctioneer told us the sellers were only considering offers 100 to 200K above the asking price and rejected the offer. The time limit piece they are talking about is interesting because I was shocked that they didn't come back and say, if we don't get other offers by X date, we will consider. But instead, they just out and out rejected it. There are still no other offers on that house.
This is it. And so this is where asking, trying to find out what the vendor's expectations are is important. The asking price is no longer the actual asking price. Mm. It is a trick price, right? It's a starting price is probably where I would say. I would say in most cases, add 10% to get the true price. But what you have there is an unrealistic vendor. It happens all the time. I recently won a bidding war. I don't normally do the bidding wars, but I came in late. I put a good final offer in. I won it at 35,000 euros after the above the asking price. And the vendor, the auctioneer came back and said, the vendor wants another 20,000 euros above what I bid. And I said, thank you very much. That won't be happening. And that was it. So yeah, these things do happen. We are in a seller's market, right? So we have to respect that a little bit. We're hoping that our vendor is realistic in what they're looking for when it comes to it. So in this case, in the emailer's case, it's just a walk away. It's so frustrating when that happens.
Yeah.
But it does happen.
Yeah, because I suppose not all vendors maybe can see the wood from the trees, perhaps.
The problem is a house. Jimmy's house down the road sold for this much price, so my house must sell for that, even though my house doesn't have a new bathroom, solar panels, A-rated property. Vendors don't think like that. They see what the price was and don't think about what that situation was. You've also got that situation where sometimes you just have two buyers who bid the property up and you don't get that on your own listing. So there needs to be an element of, as I said, vendor being reasonable. And it's a case, especially in a seller's market, where it doesn't always happen.
Yeah. If you are involved in a bidding war, can you infer anything? Say you're in a bidding war with one other potential buyer. Can you infer anything from how much they're upping their bid by? Like if they're only doing it 500 euro at a time, does that tell you, we're really at the edge here?
It does. No, you think that. This is a problem, I think. I mean, I love playing poker, right? It's a bit like playing poker sometimes. You're trying to guess what the other person's hand is. And it just depends. Sometimes you get somebody really aggressive and they'll just put in $5,000 or $10,000 over. And you're thinking, right, this is a case where, you know, they're just too aggressive. The other time they just do this thing where whatever you bid, they put $1,000 over, $1,000 over. And it's so frustrating. You just feel like, you know, you feel like punching the air because it's so frustrating. No matter what price you bid, they just go $1,000 over. And this seems to be a strategy that I'm seeing more and more of, which is very, very frustrating. And it seems that it doesn't matter. All I could say on this, the only advice I can give on this is know your price, know what you're willing to pay for the property, write it down in a bit of paper the day that you see that property. And the moment that it hits that price, just walk away.
Yeah.
There's no point getting them. It's too easy to keep saying, oh, another 10, another 5, and it'll be me. And it can be crazy what happens. And you see it all the time where a property will go through this emotional bidding war, and then eventually the buyer pulls out because they realize that they've been caught in this emotional roller coaster and that they're paid too much for the property. And remember too, if you're getting a mortgage, you need to be passing mortgage valuation. So you can't just bid up and pay anything you like. The banks are still going to value that property and make sure you're paying the right price.
I know somebody who bid on a house and they said, no, 1,000 at a time. And their whole tactic was to break the spirit of the other people who were bidding. Yeah. And it worked. They got the house at the edge. It took weeks, but they got it.
And again, the key thing there was they had a strategy. And that's the key thing. Like I said at the start, it doesn't matter what their strategy is necessarily, but as long as you're thinking about how can I acquire this, what strategy is required here to do that. And sometimes the 1,000 euro over break the spirit of the other person is exactly what's needed.
My word. Michael, thanks a million for talking to us today. That was Michael Houghton there, host of the Irish Fire podcast about financial independence. Moncrief.
Weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.